Mishnah Yomis for Monday, the second day of Tammuz, Tovshin Be'Dalet. Masechet Gittin, Perek Shmini, Mishnah Vov. In the beginning of Masechet Yevamos, the Mishnah therein lists 15 wives or 15 type of women who, if their husband is married to another wife and the husband dies without any children, but they, any one of these 15, happen to be an Isur Erva, absolutely forbidden to be married to the brother, the surviving brother, and the Isur is a very serious one, it's one of the Aroyos, like a daughter, for example, then they will, not only they can are not subject to Yibum and Chalitza, but their rival wives are also. We say poitros tsorosayan minachalitzam and yibum, which means that the other wife, who is not related at all to the brother, surviving brother, she too cannot have yibum and chalitza. She's exempt, completely exempt from it. So let's give an example. You have Reuven and Shimon. Reuven is married to Shimon's daughter. He's married to Shimon's daughter. And Reuven has another, and let's call her Rachel. And Reuven, in the meantime, has another wife. And who's the other wife? The other wife happens to be, let's give her a name, Shoshana. So we have two wives. We have Rachel and Shoshana. Rachel is the daughter of Shimon. Shoshana is not related at all. Reuven dies without any children. Now, normally, Shimon, the brother, would have to do Yibum, we chalitza to one of them. Now, one of them is his daughter. That's one. It's an Aroyas for Shimon. Absolutely forbidden. If he chas v'shalom lives with her, it'll be a mamzer. And then what happens is, not only is there no obligation for Yibum and Chalitza with respect to Rachel, who is his daughter, but Shimon cannot do any Yibum or Chalitza with Shoshana as well. She's called the Tzora. She's called the Tzora of Rachel. Yeah, tzoras one to another literally means adversaries one to another, rival wives we call them. Now, that's all right if under normal circumstances, but what happens if it turns out that really Rachel was never married to Reuven, was married under false assumptions? Then it turns out that really Shoshana required Yibum. But in the meantime, we didn't know about that. Shoshana, in the meantime, went off and married someone else because the rabbis told her, the rabbonim told her, you're fine, you're free to go and marry who you want. You're not a Yevama Lashuk, as we call it. You're not a Yevama who needs something done to her. You're free to marry whoever you want now. She does that. She gets married. And then they find out that is free to go to marry who she wants. Then they find out that Rachel was not really properly married to Reuven. Why? We'll soon see in our Mishnah why. What happens in such a case? Says the Mishnah. Kol ha-aroyos, all of the 15 types of aroyos, all of the 15 types of forbidden relationships, she'omro, where the Chachamim said, tzoroseyen mutoros, that the rival wife is permitted to marry anyone, they're not called a Yevom al-Ashuk, they're not called a Yevom at all. They're free. When the husband's died without any children. And that's the halacha. Aroyos, those ladies, those women who are osur, asuros because of an erva, will exempt not only themselves but also the rival wife from chalitza or yibum. Holcho hatzores ha'ela v'niso. And these rival wives went. Shoshana went in the case that we mentioned. She went and she married. She was the wife of Reuven who died. But there's no need for her. She thought there was no need for her to go to have yibum or chalitza from her brother Shimon. And she goes and gets married to another man. But then, disaster. V'nimtzu elo al eilanis. And it turns out that this aroyos, that the first wife, or Rachel, was really an eilanis. Eilanis means that she was not capable of having children. She was born that way. And Reuven, who got married to her, didn't know that. And because he didn't know that, it's called a kiddushe tos, it's called a mistaken kiddushin, which means that she really wasn't married to him. If she really wasn't married to him, then Shoshana is the only wife, the only surviving widow of Reuben. And Reuben had no children, which means that Shoshana did need a yibum or chalitza, but she didn't know that. And she went in the meantime and she got married to someone else. Now, this is a serious prohibition. It's not arroyos. It's not as bad as an arroyos for a yevoma going to marry someone else. But it's a problematic. She shouldn't have married the husband. Maybe she didn't know about it, but that's what happened. So what do we do in such a case? Teitze mizeh umizeh. She needs to leave the new husband. She will need a get from the new husband that she went to. And she will also require, in the case that we mentioned, she will require Shimon, the surviving brother, to give her either yibum, no, to give her chalitza. And v'chol adrochim o'elubo, all the things that we mentioned in the previous mission about a woman who marries another man when she shouldn't have, she, all the things apply. She'll need a get from the husband that she got married to. She'll need chalitza from the yibum, from the case, in our case, from Shimon, the surviving brother. He can't do yibum because it's too late now. She married someone else. She doesn't get a ksuba from either. She doesn't get any fruits back for any of the husbands have been eating or any of her property. And the child born from the new husband, from the husband that she went to, will be a mamzer. Now, we said before that this is not such a serious isser as aroyas. So why is there a mamzer? A mamzer only comes from a isser of prohibition of aroyas, where it's incestual, like marrying a daughter. Like we said, if a person marries a daughter, chas v'shalom, then that child, the product, is a mamzer. She, in the case of Shoshana, the woman who should have had yibum, the worst isser is a yivam alashuk. The Torah says, lo siya eshes ha-hamesa chutz l'shzar. She cannot marry another man until she has to get chalitz and yibum. So why is there a mamzer involved? And the Gemara explains, our Mishnah must go according to Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is much stricter. He holds that even if a relationship was done that was prohibited merely by a lav, a lo sase, such as the case of a yavama marrying someone who she shouldn't, before getting yibum to chalitza, she goes married someone else, that will also result in a child being a mamzer. Halacha, however, is not like Rabbi Akiva. The halacha is that the child will not be a mamzer. It's a lav, not a good situation, but certainly not a mamzer. Mishnah Zayin. We also learned that in the Masechta Yevamos, that a person who's married to two wives and he died without children. So when the surviving brother does bio, lives or does yibum, or chalitza to one of the wives, one of the widows, then the other ones can now go and marry who they want to. But it's forbidden, absolutely forbidden, for a surviving brother or brothers to take more than one wife of one brother. They cannot do this. The Torah learns this from the Pasuk, Asher lo yivne es beis ochiv, the man who did not build the house singular of his brother. One house he can build, not two. One wife he can marry, one widow, but not two. We also learn from the word beis chalutz hanal, when a chalitza is done, a house where the shoe was taken off, in the act of chalitza, the Torah uses the single expression, bais, to tell us that one house you can give chalitza to, one wife, but not two. Also to, and it's also forbidden to do yibum to one wife, one widow, and give chalitza to the other widow. That cannot be done either. And that's because the Torah says, when it talks about chalitza, if the man does not wish to do yibum, the levirate marriage, to his brother's widow, then she shall take off his shoe, etc. But if he wants to do yibum, he can. From here we learn that only a woman who is eligible for yibum is also eligible for chalitza. And if she's not eligible for yibum, not chalitza. And therefore, if he does yibum or chalitza to one of them, the tzara, the rival wife, is mutaris, she's allowed to marry anyone she wants. What happens, however, our Mishnah is going to talk about a case, what happens when the tzara, the rival wife, did get married to another man, relying on this halacha, relying on the fact that once the other wife has had chalitza or yibum done, I'm free to marry whoever I want to. And then it turns out that the wife, the rival wife who he did, who the surviving brother did Yibum Chalitza to, was an Eilonis, was never even eligible for Yibum Chalitza in the first place. So this is another case of a Yavama Lashuk, where Yavama thought she was free from waiting for any further action. She can now go and get married, and as it turns out, Gewalt, she realizes now, my rival wife now, the other wife, wasn't even properly married to my husband. Says the Mishnah, a person who marries his brother's, his deceased brother's wife, thinking that she was properly married to him, and as a result of that, his brother's other wife felt free now to go marry whoever she wanted to, and theoretically she could. So the other wife went and got married to someone else. That's the halacha, normally. But it turns out, that the Yavama that Yibum was done to was actually an Eilonis. Eilonis means a woman who could never have children, who's really masculine in nature, and the husband didn't know about it, and the Kiddushim therefore made with her is really a Kiddusha Toz. It's called a marriage based on a false assumption, an assumption that she was a normal woman. And it turns out that she wasn't. And therefore, if she wasn't really his wife, that means she was never eligible for Yibum. And if she was never eligible for Yibum, that means that the other wife, who thought that everything's fine and rosy, I can marry whoever she wants, she couldn't at all marry whoever she wanted. Now she needs to have Yibum. Comes out she got married to someone else without Chalitza. None to her. So what do we do now? Again, the same thing as we mentioned in the previous Mishnah. Teitze mizeh umizeh. The tzara, the rival wife, will have to leave the husband that she got married to and also leave the yavam. She will need chalitza, actually, from the yavam. V'chol ha'drachim eleva. And all the things we mentioned before in the Mishnah that we learned earlier on in this perek will apply to her, which means she needs a get from the husband that she got married to. She needs chalitza from the yavam, from the surviving brother, because there was no chalitza done. Now, it turns out that the wife was not really a wife at all. And she doesn't get a ksuba from the old husband, from the new husband, nor from the yavam or the brother-in-law. She doesn't get the fruits back if they've been eating it. The child born of this relationship, if she did get a child from the man that she thought she could now marry, that child will be a mamzer. And once again, this must be according to Rabbi Akiva, because only Rabbi Akiva holds that a child born of a relationship that is prohibited by a lav, a lo saseh, is sufficiently serious enough to have the product of that relationship being a mamzer. The halacha, again, is not like Rabbi Akiva. The halacha is, yes, she will need to have a get from the new husband. She will need to have a proper chalitza done to her by the surviving brother. And she doesn't get rights to the ksuba, etc. But the child will not be a mamzer, because the child is born from a relationship that's called a yavama lashuk, which is prohibited by the Torah. The yavama is not allowed to just go marry someone else without getting a chalitza first. And if she didn't, she was over the lav. But halachically, the child will not be a mamzer. Again, this Mishnah goes like Rabbi Akiva.